to be American.
This is Democracy Optimist. Here's your host, Professor Joshua Douglas of the University of Kentucky Rosenberg College of Law.
Welcome to Democracy Optimist, where we discuss the current state of American democracy, recognizing the risks it faces, while still offering a glimmer of hope along the way. At the founding of our country, only white male property owners who were at least 21 years old could vote. Over time, we removed property requirements, expanded suffrage to racial minorities and women, and, through the 26th Amendment, lowered the voting age to 18. Why 18? That is, in some ways, a historical accident. It was initially 21 because that was the rule under British common law. And 21 was the voting age back then because, in medieval times, 21 was believed to be the age when a young man was strong enough to wear a full suit of heavy armor and was therefore eligible for knighthood. So the U.S. adopted 21 at the founding because that's what it always was. Then, during World War II, Congress lowered the draft age from 21 to 18 because we needed more soldiers, and that's when the push to lower the voting age to 18 began. It all culminated decades later in the Vietnam War, when many young people were sent to fight a war that they opposed. The rallying cry, "Old enough to fight, old enough to vote," was persuasive. On July 5, 1971, President Richard Nixon signed the 26th Amendment into law. Some states, however, had lowered the voting age even before the 26th Amendment. Kentucky, for example, set the voting age to 18 in 1955, 16 years before the 26th Amendment. And today, some places in the U.S. have lowered the voting age to 16 for local or school board elections. The U.S. Constitution permits this. It says that no state can deny the right to vote to those aged 18 or older, but it says nothing about whether a state or locality can go lower than 18. Over the past decade, the Vote 16 movement has gained momentum. A dozen cities across four states now allow 16 and 17-year-olds to vote in local or school board elections, including Newark, New Jersey, the largest city to do so. For many advocates, expanding the franchise to younger voters is a response to concerns about youth engagement, civic readiness, and the long-term health of our democracy. Here to discuss lowering the voting age to 16 is Lawan Allen, the executive director of Vote 16 USA, a nonprofit dedicated to the movement. Full disclosure, I serve on its national advisory board. Lawan, welcome to Democracy Optimist.
Thank you so much for having me, Josh. It is a pleasure to be able to connect with you and talk about the movement to lower the voting age to 16.
Yeah, so tell us more about the organization Vote 16 USA and how you became involved in this effort.
Yeah, thank you for the question. So Vote 16 USA is a national nonprofit organization that supports youth-led campaigns to extend voting rights to 16 and 17-year-olds in local, state, and federal elections. This organization was started in 2015 as a result of a vote that happened 2 years prior in Tacoma Park, Maryland, which became the first state to, the first city to lower the voting age to 16 for all municipal elections in 2013. And so, you know, we support our young people in a variety of ways. We provide them with opportunities to testify and to show exactly why they believe that they should have a real voting voice in our democracy. And so since our inception 10 years ago, cities up and down this country and every corner of the country and certainly states have begun to have the conversation about what it means to incorporate 16 and 17-year-olds more meaningfully into our democracy.
So let's talk about some of the best arguments or the benefits that you promote. And I like how you talked about how it's the youth in these cities that are really engaged in the effort. And I want to discuss that in a few minutes. But first, just what are the benefits? Why lower the voting age to 16 for local or school board elections?
Yeah, great question. There are so many benefits to lowering the voting age to 16. Young people are at the forefront of every movement in the country. When we think about climate justice reform, when we think about common sense gun legislation, when we think about high quality education policy, it is young people pleading with us as the adults of the country to get this right. Young people will inherit the country that we leave them, and the decisions that we make today disproportionately impact young people. And so this idea that young people are not engaged, that young people don't care, the only thing that they care about is social media, is just completely inaccurate. And the young people within the Vote 16 movement is proof of that. They care about their communities. They care about the country that we will leave them. Another compelling argument is that 16 is a really critical age. It is around the time where young people have an inclination to risk take. And we believe that lowering the voting age, allowing young people to participate in democratic processes, provides them with a positive avenue to explore that inclination. This is something positive that you can put your energy into that will have a great social benefit, not to mention that in the places where we've seen the voting age be lowered, voter turnout is not only increased amongst those 16 and 17, meaning they're voting at higher rates than those that are 18 and older. But over time, what we also see is that those 18 and older are also voting at higher rates. So what that tells us is that 16 and 17 year olds also motivate the adults in their life to get out the vote, which makes our democracy more just, representative, and resilient.
So as I noted in the introduction, about a dozen cities have lowered the voting age to 16, mostly for local elections, a couple of them just for school board elections. What has the experience been like in those places, and what has surprised local officials and voters themselves the most?
I think what has surprised folks in these communities the most is that young people are hyper aware of what's happening around them. They have a lot to contribute when it comes to some of the most pressing issues in the communities that our young people live in. They continue to provide and to want to contribute really innovative solutions. Now, Vote 16 is not the panacea to solving the issues that we deal with in our democracy, but it's certainly a meaningful step towards making our democracy more representative. So I think that has been the feedback that I've heard consistently, is that young people do care. Young people are concerned about the country that they will inherit. And so that is a message across the cities that we've seen this happen, where that type of thinking and message resonates with the residents there.
All right. So you've been pretty positive about what this movement can be and why it benefits democracy to lower the voting age. But a lot of people are skeptical. And you're going to hear, I'm sure you have heard, a lot of opposition to the idea. So let's tackle some of those objections. First, there's kind of the psychological viewpoint of 16-year-old brains aren't developed. That frontal cortex we hear about, that means that people are just not developed enough to act as adults at age 16. What say you?
Yeah, that's a great argument, one we hear consistently as well. And what I will say is that we work with the Vote 16 Research Network, and there's tons and tons of data on this exact question. And I will tell you, the science supports lowering the voting age. Voting requires what they call code cognition. Cognitive ability is the ability to make an informed decision when given the right tools, time, and resources. And we know that that's what voting requires. We also know that code cognitive ability does not change much after the age of 16. And so someone's code cognitive ability at 16 is relatively the same as someone who's 30, 40, 70, and beyond. And so if we're talking about the science behind and the brain development behind lowering the voting age, the science supports it.
So let's just dive into this a tiny bit deeper. So you said that cold cognition is the kind of things that voting is about, that it requires this cold cognition. How does that contrast with hot cognition?
Well, hot cognition is essentially the same scenario, but opposite conditions, right? When young people are not given the time, when they're forced to make a really quick and rapid decision, when they're put under pressure to make a decision.
Peer pressure in particular.
Peer pressure in particular. That's a great example. The data does show that 16 and 17 year olds still have some work to do when it comes to hot cognitive ability, but that's not what voting requires, right? Voting requires code cognitive ability, and when we lower the voting age, young people begin to talk amongst themselves about the candidates and the issues that most impact them, and that's what we mean by tools, time, and resources in order to make an educated decision about which candidate or which policy issue they'll vote for based on those tools.
Well, let's say I'm with you on the science, or at least I'll trust the scientists that 16-year-old brains are developed for cold cognition and therefore voting. But 16-year-olds haven't had the same kind of life experiences. Most of them haven't and don't have to yet pay taxes. So doesn't voting require some sort of perspective that 16-year-olds simply don't have yet?
We trust 16 and 17-year-olds to do adult things in our society today. We trust them to work. We trust them to drive. And we know what it means to be on the road. We trust them. And some of them, those who work absolutely pay taxes. I come from Boston, and we learned a lot about taxation without representation. There are millions of 16 and 17-year-olds in our country who work and pay taxes. 16 and 17-year-olds can donate blood. 16 and 17-year-olds can sit in the emergency aisle on an airplane and be trusted to help others on a plane in case of an emergency. So we trust 16 and 17-year-olds to do adult things, and yet we completely disregard them when it comes to the political process. We completely disregard that they have anything meaningful to contribute to this conversation. And to me, that is a gross injustice, and speaks to the idea that, we have really low voter turnout. We have really low engagement among young people within our democratic processes. And this could be a really meaningful step to try to remedy that and get young people excited about democratic participation.
But most 16 and 17-year-olds are still living at home. They're still going to school. So isn't this just going to give their parents essentially an extra vote, or these people will be influenced by their teachers?
Once again, fantastic question. And I think the first part of that question in terms of living at home and having that stability is actually an argument in our favor, right? When you're 18, you are in a really interesting time in your life, right? You've most likely graduated or about to graduate from high school. You're most likely going to go off to a higher education institution, and most likely not worrying about when your next election is, or how you're going to register to vote, or how you're going to request an absentee ballot or mail ballot. And so, at 16, you do have this stability that I think allows you to be more ingrained in what's happening around you. And in terms of your second part of the question, living with your parents and being influenced by your parents, I think that used to be true, where essentially families would vote as a household. We've seen that, throughout the 60s and 70s and 80s, where it was a household that voted the same way. And I think we're seeing that. We're not seeing those same trends today. There was a recent study conducted out of Scotland, but what they found was that young people are no longer voting like their parents because their parents told them to. What they found in this particular study was that 40% of the group that they did this study on did not vote like their parents, which means 60% did. And so when they asked for feedback from the young people about why they voted this particular way, none of them brought up the fact that their parents, they knew that their parents were also voting that way. Most of the feedback that they received was that they voted for this particular candidate because they believed that candidate had their best interests in mind. And so we are no longer voting as a family. I think young people have the ability to vote the way that they feel is in their best interest.
We're speaking with Lawan Allen, who's the executive director of Vote 16 USA. Lawan, one more question on potential objections before I let you off the hot seat in just responding to all the reasons why this doesn't make sense. All of the cities that have lowered the voting age so far in the United States are in blue areas of the country. You've got Maryland, you've got Vermont, you've got California, New Jersey. So this just sounds kind of like a liberal push to increase the voter rolls of people who tend to skew more Democratic, as young people do. What's your response to that objection?
You know, it's a fantastic point. And let me just say this, you know, lowering the voting age is the next big thing in American democracy. Lowering the voting age is not a political power grab for Democrats. What we've seen in the last presidential election, as an example, was a dramatic shift of those 18 to 29 voting for the Republican candidate and now president. What we've seen is that, again, young people have the ability to pick a candidate based on their own political and moral values. But what the trend is telling us is that young people are actually becoming more conservative. I don't have the exact numbers on me, but I do know that amongst 18 to 29 year olds in Biden's former President Biden's first election, there was a huge, I think it was like 20, plus 25 for Biden at that time. And for Kamala, it was plus 4. And so we saw a real shift. And I think that speaks to, again, young people's ability to choose a candidate that they believe, you know, works in their best interests.
So, and importantly, Vote 16 USA is a nonpartisan organization.
Absolutely.
So you don't really care which areas of the country engage in this effort.
Absolutely not.
When I talk about the voting age, I've found that this is an issue that actually can change people's minds. Unlike so many other things when people are really entrenched in their viewpoints, I've found that this is something that, you know, the arguments about lowering the voting age actually can shift people's perceptions. Can you share a story of someone who maybe was adamantly opposed that now is in favor of the idea?
Absolutely. And the person that comes to mind immediately is Governor Phil Murphy out of New Jersey. Governor Phil Murphy was not in favor of lowering the voting age when he first heard of the idea, based on testimony given by young people and now the leaders of our Vote 16 New Jersey chapter. Not only did Governor Murphy change his opinion on this issue, but he's become the most vocal elected official on a statewide level to support it. Governor Phil Murphy has mentioned lowering the voting age in his last two State of the State addresses. Governor Phil Murphy has most recently allocated $1 million in his budget to support cities within New Jersey with implementation in voter education. And so we had someone who was not in support of it, you know, and based on testimony given by young people, which we believe is the best way to shift political and public opinion on the issue, is when they hear from young people. We saw Governor Phil Murphy dramatically change his stance and invest in the movement in a way that was meaningful, and got Newark, New Jersey to do this with his support. And so we're going to continue to see places in New Jersey lower the voting age as well.
And Newark did so for school board elections. And there's got to be some implementation challenges or hurdles. You mentioned the $1 million to help with implementation. What does this take, you know, with voter registration, with voter education, even the ballot itself? What kind of implementation things do we need to worry about?
We are building out our own internal supports with helping cities and states with implementation through support with the Vote 16 Research Network. But some things that cities and states should think about when considering lowering the voting age is cost, right? And so what we've done and what we're continuing to do is do cost analyses to better understand, you know, what the cost of lowering the voting age is based on population size, based on, you know, location, whether you're in a rural or suburban area or city, whether the state, the county, or the city oversees the election. But certainly cost, and, you know, cost could be anything from updating voting machines. The worst thing for this movement would be for a 16 and 17 year old to mistakenly have voted in a federal election. That's something that we want to completely avoid and would be detrimental to the movement. And so we want to be mindful that we're making sure that our voting machines are up to date and are able to accommodate for 16 and 17 year olds voting. And in some places, separate ballots are printed. And so there's an additional cost with printing separate ballots. So those are the types of costs that cities and states should be thinking about when lowering the voting age.
What do you think the movement in American democracy will look like in 5 years, 10 years, 20 years?
I'll start from a wider view at first and then sort of hone in. You know, Vote 16 is a part of a global movement. We're not just here in the United States, right? I have counterparts in places like Scotland and New Zealand, in the UK. And, you know, we have over 20 countries that have already lowered the voting age to 16. And so what I think we're going to continue to see is countries across the globe lower in the voting age. The UK back in 2025 just had announced that they will be lowering the voting age to 16 before their upcoming general election. In the United States, I think we're going to continue to see cities and states take the lead on expanding voting rights to 16 and 17 year olds. We're active in over 25 states. I think we will continue to see elected officials be open-minded to this idea. And then ultimately, based on our ability to cultivate relationships with elected officials, particularly at the federal level, I do see that in 10, 15, 20 years, there being an appetite for lowering the voting age in federal elections. You know, we had an amendment introduced by Rep. Ayanna Pressley and Representative Grace Ming, both out of Massachusetts and New York, respectively. And we got 126 members of Congress to support that amendment to lower the voting age to 16, including a Republican from Texas. And so I think our movement is strong, our movement is growing, and it will continue to grow.
Lawan Allen is the executive director of Vote 16 USA, which you can find at vote16usa.org. Lawan, thank you so much for joining us on Democracy Optimist.
So, Josh, we're both dads, and so I think this was really interesting from that perspective. Lawan made the point that we trust 16-year-olds to do all kinds of things, work, drive cars, so why not trust them to vote? What was your impression of that point?
Well, of course, I'm actually part of that Vote 16 research network because I've written a lot about this issue and about the voting age, so maybe I'm biased because I have sort of encountered these arguments. But I thought he put it really nicely. And actually, I learned a little bit more. Like, I didn't realize 16 and 17-year-olds can sit in the exit row on airplanes. That was new to me. And so I think he demonstrated that we do kind of treat 16-year-olds as almost adult-like in many aspects of our society. But, you know, the most persuasive point to me is that if we lowered the voting age for local elections and get young people in the habit of voting, then they're more likely to become habitual voters later in life. And I think that's a really important part of this conversation.
What did he have to say, Lawan Allen, that is, have to say to counter the objections to setting the voting age at 16 that impressed you?
Yeah, I mean, there's so many objections that the movement hears, but I think perhaps the most persuasive or at least the one that stuck out to me was the fact that if this is not just a liberal push to try to get more liberal voters, because as he said in the 2024 election, young people swung towards the Republican candidate in numbers that we hadn't seen 4 years prior. So I think that's a good example that he doesn't care who these people are voting for. It's about the strength of our democracy. And to me, democracy is stronger when more people are participating.
Thanks for joining us for this series of conversations about how elections work, about the value of your vote, and about challenges to your right and freedom to make choices at your local polling place. Find our series online at democracyoptimist.com. Joshua Douglas, writer and host, Mike Savage, executive producer. I'm Tom Martin, your series producer. Neil Kesterson, technical director and sound designer. Democracy Optimist theme song, American, by Madeline Peru. Mason Graber and Stephen Dabney, research assistants, Caitlin Douglas, graphic designer, Ella Fitzgeraldine, studio dog. Democracy Optimist is a special Eastern Standard series produced by Dynamics Productions for Richmond, Kentucky-based public radio station WEKU.